Jim Field.
Hey, Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, good. Good. Not too bad. Did you get a good night's sleep?
Kind of. Woke up a few times, thanks to the bright lights in the window.
Yeah, the good Lord's alarm clock got me this morning. It was an interesting night. A little bit of lightning, a little bit of thunder, and a little bit of rain. Maybe more than a little bit in some areas. I was joking with Ardell McCunn from Messina this morning. She called to let us know they had 2.19 inches of rain in Messina. A lot of rain there. She asked, how much did you get? I said, well, we got just under an inch. We had 96 hundredths. She goes, oh, that's not bad. I said, yeah, but you got to remember, it just went right down through the cracks in the dirt. It was gone. Now, just about an inch, we'll take that. We'll take that. And a little more would be nice, too. It looks like we have a chance of that yet here in the coming days. Chance of rainfall looks like just about every day this week. So we'll see what we pull out of that yet. How's Brett this morning?
Oh, ready to go this morning.
Any breakers popping out there or problems due to the storm last night?
It's been pretty quiet this morning so far.
All right. Well, just because it's getting late in the season doesn't mean you take your air conditioning for granted. It'll get hot yet. Tell us about Camlin's.
Hey, frustration sets in real quick when something goes wrong with your plumbing or heating and you don't know who to call. Camlin Plumbing and Heating has been solving people's plumbing problems for over 95 years now, learning each and every year better product and better ways of making your frustrations go away. We've learned that quality far outlasts price and that quick fixes only end up costing you more money. Our technicians are trained and retrained and are up to date in the latest technology that will give you the peace and trust in a service company that you need. Give us a call the next time at Camlin Plumbing and Heating in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286.
Very good. I know you're quite the green thumb.
Yeah, you bet.
You plant that flower in the seat of his car, he might notice it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, forget it, huh? Not so much? Not the outdoorsy kind?
I can fill a hole with dirt.
Well, so you're handy.
There we go.
We'll put it that way. All right. Well, somebody's got to use that shovel. Well, you know, a lot of folks will spend some time out in the garden here lately. I know we've been doing some work in our yard, not so much to divide and conquer, but just to conquer. But mid to late summer is usually a good time to get rid of or manage some of the flowers that are around your house and yard and garden. The folks at Iowa State University Extension, Richard Geron and Greg Wallace, put together a nice article about managing certain types of flowers and different types of things in the backyard that folks like to, pull up and divide and move around.
Are you talking about those purple ones with prickly stuff on them?
I have no idea. I'm not. I'm reading this.
I thought maybe you were talking about thistles or something.
No. Well, no. Those Roundup works a little bit. You just beat them over the head with a shovel. Some of the things, though, about that, though, they talk about like managing things like bearded irises, peonies, daylilies, things that are fairly common here in Iowa that folks like to plant around their homes and in their areas. But, you know, it's all about time. Timing is a big part of that, but also about how you do it, too. And they talk about some of the different things. Like, for example, daylilies. It seems like you can't go 20 yards down the street without finding plenty of daylilies in pretty much any neighborhood. They're relatively easy. They do bloom nicely at different times of the year, but they also, they do expand. I mean, you can just plant a little section of them, and over time it will expand quite rapidly. So a lot of folks will like to go out and kind of thin that out a little bit, divide those out, move some around to different locations, or perhaps part them out and give them to a neighbor or somebody else. Daylilies can be divided actually a couple of times during the year. You can do that in early spring as the new growth starts to emerge, or in late summer and early fall, and especially in September. What they suggest is that you, when dealing with daylilies, you dig up the entire clump with a spade, which isn't the most difficult job in the world, but, you know, the older we get, the tougher it gets on the back, isn't
just,
it?
Just mow over it.
Yeah, just mow over it. There you go. Well, dig up the entire clump with a spade and then shake or wash off the soil. And then they suggest you just carefully pull that clump apart. You know, they grow in clumps like that. So often they suggest using a sharp knife to divide the large, dense clumps because they can get a little tough. Those little tiny roots grow out so much and keep that dirt so close together there. Each of the divisions should have two or three fans of leaves and then a good root system as well. And when you're dividing the daylilies in September, they suggest that you cut back the foliage to a height of about maybe 6 to 8 inches. It'll regrow. Now, you want to replant those divisions as soon as possible. So once you part them out, then you want to get them back in the ground soon. So when you're planting, they say that the daylily's crown, and that's the area where the shoots and the roots come together, that should be about an inch below the soil surface. So get that in about an inch below and then water it thoroughly. And then the divided plants usually don't bloom well for 1 or 2 years. So you won't see immediate results next week, but you will see the results over time. Now, peonies also, when you're going to do dividing up some of those and move some of those around, they suggest that September is actually the best time to divide peonies. And by September, the peony plants have been able to store adequate food reserves in their roots. And also the replanted divisions have several weeks to get themselves reestablished at their new sites before the onset of winter. So it's a good time to do that. They say to begin by cutting off the peony stems near the ground level. You want to carefully dig up the plants and wash or gently shake off the soil, and then use a sharp knife to divide the clump into sections. Each of those sections should have 3 to 5 buds and a good root system. Divisions with fewer than 3 buds may take 2 or more years to flower. You want to plant those divisions then in a sunny and well-drained site. And when you're planting, they suggest that you dig a hole large enough to accommodate the root system of the peony. Now, you want to position that peony in the hole so that the buds are 1 to 2 inches below the soil surface. So they suggest that the plants may not bloom well if the buds are more than 2 inches deep. You want to fill that hole with soil and firm the soil around the plant while you're backfilling, and then water that thoroughly. And they do suggest that you space those peonies 3 to 4 feet apart. They do suggest to mulch the newly planted peonies with several inches of straw or pine needles in late fall. That mulching will prevent repeated freezing and thawing of the soil, and that can damage young plants or perhaps heave them. And you do want to remove that mulch, though, as the growth resumes in the spring. My folks used to have peony bushes out in the yard when we were growing up. I hated those things.
I got stories, but I couldn't. I'm not going to tell them on the radio.
I hated those things, you know, because we were active children. We were always out in the yard playing, and it just seemed like all they did was attract ants. Just tons and tons of ants. Blech.
Nah.
Just
that's what makes them bloom.
I hated those things. I just didn't like them. Too many ants around. But some folks just love those. They do look very nice. When they bloom, they're really good looking. Then also they talk about bearded irises, too. And while you have bearded irises, and they're pretty easy to grow as perennials, they do need to be divided every 3 to 5 years. And if they're not divided, then they say that the plants become overcrowded and the flower production will decrease. And crowded plants also are more prone to disease problems. In Iowa, July or August is the best time to dig, divide, and transplant those bearded irises. So we're right in the middle of that. The bearded irises grow from thick underground stems. They say to carefully dig up the iris clumps with a spade and cut back the leaves to about 1/3 of their original height. Wash the soil from the stems and then also and the roots, and a steady stream of water will take care of that. Then they suggest that you cut the stems apart with a sharp knife. And each of those divisions should have a fan of leaves, a healthy stem, and several large roots. You want to discard the old leafless stems in the center of each clump, and also discard any diseased or insect-damaged stems. Those bearded irises will perform best in fertile, well-drained soils and full sun. In clay soils, they do suggest that you incorporate some compost, some peat, or some well-rotted manure into the soil prior to planting. And when you're planting bearded irises, dig a hole large enough to accommodate the stem and the roots. And then you want to build a mound in the center of that hole and place a stem on top of the mound and then spread the roots in the surrounding trench and then cover that with soil. So when it's planted, the stem should be just below the soil surface. And, of course, you want to water each of those plants thoroughly as well. To obtain a good flower display, they suggest that you plant at least 3 stems of one of those cultivars in a group. And you want to space those stems 12 to 24 inches apart and point each fan of leaves away from the other irises in the group to give them a chance to have some space to grow. So this is a critical time, I guess, for some of that yard work that you may want to do. The downside is it's kind of hot and humid for the most part this time of the year to get out and do all that work. So if you've been looking to, maybe get a little active, maybe lose a few pounds, I guess you just sweat it off in the backyard.
Is that why I've got a little extra belly? I usually just take care of mine with a lawnmower.
See, I'm telling you, if you just get off that lawnmower and grab that shovel, you'd be in a lot better physical shape.
There we go.
See all the little things you can do to help keep it. It's good for you. It's not just good for the flowers. It's good for you.
Okay.
You're not buying it, are you? You're not buying what I'm selling. Tell us about Camlin Plumbing and Heating.
Putting in a new shower or tub in your bathroom doesn't have to be a major expense. Camlin Plumbing and Heating has several manufacturers we work with, so we can show you the easiest ways possible. From Kohler, Sterling, Aquatic, and Musty, you have the selection that will give you just the right look and color. And with Camlin Plumbing and Heating's technicians on the job, we'll get the job done right, I guarantee. You will have a choice of cast iron types to acrylics and a magnitude of colors and selections, and the quality is always guaranteed. Give us a call to get a free estimate for your remodel in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286. The thought of the day today comes to us from Lucille Ball. One of the things I've learned the hard way is it doesn't pay to get discouraged. Keeping busy and making optimism a way of life can restore your faith in yourself.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. Hey, you go make it a great day, and God bless America.